chapter 11. We're going to read verses 24 and 25. Hallelujah. So glad to have Josiah here. He was not feeling well earlier, but he is now, so praise God. And verses 24 and 25, there is that scatters and yet increases. Isn't it interesting how one can scatter and yet increase? There is that withholds more than is meet or more than is justly due, but it tends to poverty. You know, in God's kingdom, the way to increase is to give. The way to decrease is to hold on. And then he says in verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Now that's a good kind of fat. That means anointed. Amen. That means full, rich. And he that waters shall be watered also himself. So here at Victory Christian Fellowship, we don't have a thing that we pass, but we have a container in the back. And you can place all your tithes and offerings in there. And we appreciate your giving. Amen. God has given so much to us. And we just give as God has enabled you. So as God has enabled you and as you feel led, you can give into that. And God will increase that. Amen. Well, we've been having prayer school, haven't we? And we've been talking about a series called Teach Us to Pray. And we've been learning how to connect with God. We've been learning how to know the Lord's will in prayer. We've learned how to conform to the image of Christ in prayer. And tonight we're going to learn how to find answers to life's problems. Anybody interested in finding answers? Amen? Well, prayer is how you receive answers. If you want answers to life's problems, what do you need to do? You need to pray. What is prayer? Can anybody pray? Prayer is really talking to God. Amen? It's how you commune with God. You know, I have a telephone here in my pocket. And this phone, you know what it has on it? Maybe someone who's in electronics can tell me what's necessary for this phone to work. It has something that starts with an R. Right? A receiver. Say, I'm just like a phone. I'm a receiver. Amen. If you don't have a receiver, you can't get the message, can you? So how many receivers we got in here tonight? Hallelujah. You're about to receive something good. And I want to say just a few general things of prayer, then we're going to get into the lesson tonight. You ready? Prayer, you know, it is communication with God. And God is personal. Aren't you glad that God is personal? He knows how to deal with every one of us. He knows how to talk to you. He knows how to get your attention. Some, it requires more than others. Amen? You know, there are things that... Hey, listen, if God's got to send you an angel to get his message, then what he's about to tell you is about to shake your world. All right? God doesn't normally speak through angels, but he does when necessary, when he was about to tell something that's going to make your mind go, huh? You know? And so if an angel appears to you, God's about to ask you to do something pretty awesome. Okay? And, you know, prayer cannot be replaced by good works. There comes a point in time when we need to set aside some good works and we need to pray. Amen? There are times in our life when more prayer is required than at other times. You should pray every day, but then there are times when you need to pray through. What does that mean? It means you pray until you have a breakthrough. You know? And the Bible says a lot of things about prayer. And here's effective prayer. Everybody say effective prayer. It must be a scripturally informed response. God has given you the best prayer tool ever. All right? Actually, he's given you two. You know what the other tool is? The what? The Holy Spirit. The Word and the Spirit work together, okay? And they are the most effective tools that we have to talk with God. So it's a scripturally informed response of people who are saved by grace to the living God who can hear and answer on the basis of Christ's payment. Can you say amen? That was from Nelson's Dictionary. It was just so good, I just wanted to share it with you. All right, now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to James chapter 4. We're going to get into how we can have answers. You know what? I'm concerned about answers. I don't want to just pray for the sake of praying, but I want my prayers to be effective. I want my prayers to show me what to do when I don't know what to do. I want God's presence to come into the place where I'm praying. Amen? You know, I can remember there were times when I was living in Illinois, and there was a group of us, you know, we were young, single people, and we would just get together, you know, and there were times when we would get together and we would pray for an hour. You know, it would be about 7 or 8 of us, and I guarantee you, God would start to move. We'd be in a circle. And we'd be praying, calling on God. All of a sudden, a person would get hit. Then it's like a circuit. Then the next person. Then the next person. And then by the end of the time, we'd all be laughing in the Holy Ghost. You know, God's power would just come in. And, you know, God loves prayer. And in James 4, he says this. Verse 1, from where come wars and fightings among you? Come they not here, even as of your lust that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not. Because why? You know, people spend too much time fighting and less time praying. Amen? Listen, there are things that we have to fight, but we have to fight the good fight of faith. What's a good fight? That's one that you win, right? Say, I'm a winner. Okay? Notice, they're desiring, they're killing, but they don't have because they're not asking. You ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your pleasures or your lusts. In other words, when you pray based solely on your own desires, your own experience, your own expertise, and you don't go to God, your prayers are going to be amiss. You're going to miss the mark. Why? And he goes on to say, you know, this is pretty tough language. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Wow, that's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. What's a friend of the world? That means someone who wants to live their life according to the world's standards. Amen? Guess what? We're not of this world. Amen? You didn't know that you're aliens? But you have a green card. Well, it's not a green card. It's actually a name, Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus has authorized you here for a divine purpose. Okay? You know, some people ask with wrong motives. They just want to consume it on themselves. They haven't gone to the Word to see what God says. And they're just praying. And then when it doesn't happen, they get offended at God. They say, God, how come you didn't answer me? And God said, well, how come you didn't go to my word? Amen? Then he goes on to say, verse 5, do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us, lust to envy? But he gives more grace, wherefore he says, God resists the proud. You know, if you're praying with a proud attitude, God's not going to even listen to you. Why? Because God resists the proud. What's a proud person? They think that they're always right. They don't need help from anyone else. They can do it all on their own. Say, I'm not proud. He gives more grace to who? The humble. He said, submit yourselves to God, therefore, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And that's really what prayer is. Prayer is about drawing to God. Okay? Now let's go on to Matthew chapter 7. We don't want to ask amiss. When we ask, we want to have answers. God is an answering God. There's never a break in God's network. When you call on God, he's not going to say to you, your call is very important to me. And it will be received in the order that which it came. And God's not going to put you on hold for hours waiting for an answer. God wants to answer you. Why? Because God is the God of truth. Doesn't truth bring answers? Truth brings solutions. Truth solves problems. And Jesus is the truth. Okay? The Holy Spirit will bring you into all truth. Okay? So Matthew 7 and verse 7. Ask and what? It shall be given. You know, if someone's going to take the time to ask God for something, is there anything that God doesn't have? Is there anything that God can't do? If God doesn't have it for you, he can make it for you. Right? So we have to go into prayer knowing that God wants to give you good things. Say, God is a good God. He never wants anything bad for you, ever. Anything bad that happens to you was never God's will, ever. God is good. Ask and it shall be given to you. Do you believe that? Yes. Seek and what's going to happen? So if you want to find something, what do you have to do? If you want to receive something, what do you have to do? And knock and what? If you want God's door to open, what do you have to do? Knock. Yes? How can I help you? For everyone that asks, what? I want you to pay special attention to that word receive. This is, who's talking here? Is he lying? No, God, he can't lie. Everyone that asks, what? Receives. Everyone that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Very powerful. You cannot say it any more powerfully in the English language. Okay? He gives this example. If a son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? How many parents do you know will do that? And I'm talking good parents. Okay? I don't know, maybe there's some crazy person out there that would do that. What's the point? He's going to give you the point here at the end. Okay? Number one, your prayers have to be specific. General prayers get general answers. Specific prayers get specific answers. If you want specific answers, ask God specific questions. I want a car. What kind of car do you want? I don't know. What color do you want? I don't know. Do you want it to have two wheels or four wheels? I don't know. Guess what? You're going to get an I don't know car. How are you going to know when that car's... When that car shows up, how are you going to know it's yours if you can't even describe it to God? But how many times do we pray, Lord, give me a car? And God is saying, what kind of car do you want? He might give you, if you're not specific, you might end up with a Yugo. And if you get a Yugo, you won't go too far, will you? specific in your prayers. When you go to a restaurant and the waiter comes to you and says, "What do you want?" says, "I don't know. Give me something, whatever." You might not like what he gives you. But if you leave it up to the waiter, you can't complain about what you get. And how many times when we're not specific with God, we get upset with what we end up? You know? Be specific. Okay? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? No. Notice the latter part of verse 11. And look at the phrase, "how much more." Say, "how much more?" Shall your Father which is in heaven give what kind of things to you? Say, "My Father is good, and he gives me good things." That's, you got to understand, prayer needs to be specific, but you're also talking to your Father. And your Father loves you unconditionally. Your Father gave you the very best gift, his Son Jesus. Now, if he's not going to be stingy about giving you Jesus, I mean, think about it. Did God have anything better to give us for salvation? If he's willing to give you his only Son, how much more is he willing to give you good things? So say this, say, "God is a giver of good things. And when I'm specific, God will meet my need because I'm a receiver." Amen. Go with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And I'm going to bring this receiving bit home tonight. Amen. You're going to leave tonight knowing how to receive good things from God. Luke chapter 12. And let's go down to verse 22. Look at what he's telling his disciples. Think a whole lot about your life. Is that what he said? He didn't say that. What did he say? Take no thought for your life. What's he saying? Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't get overly excited. Take no thought. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. For your life, what are you going to eat? What are you going to wear? Or for your body, and what are you going to put on? Don't worry about that. How much time, don't raise your hands, but how much time have we spent worrying about this kind of stuff? And here Jesus is telling us to don't worry about it. As a matter of fact, take no thought. Okay? Life is more than meat, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They don't sow nor reap, which neither have a storehouse or barn, and God feeds them. And you are much better than birds. You're much more important to God than birds. Listen, if God can clothe the birds, he can clothe you. Say, "God can clothe me." Say, "God can feed me. Because my God is good." Say, "God can take care of me." But if you want to be taken care of, what must you do? Ask. Okay? How many of you worrying about your life changed anything about it? Can I have a testimony of how worry has changed your life? All of us have probably worried about something at some time. But worrying about it has not changed it in one bit. You sat there, we fretted, you bit your nails, You know, whatever you did when you worry, it added nothing. It changed nothing. So why do it? Okay? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more? You see that phrase again? How much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? You had little faith because you didn't ask God. You tried to do it on your own. You know, I was telling Gabriel, I'm going to share a little testimony about Gabriel. Gabriel, it was about a year and a half ago, Gabriel wanted an iPod. And so he was telling us, I said, okay, well, let's pray. Let's ask God. And so him and I, we prayed. Fiona might have been with us too. And we prayed. And Gabriel is in charge of a research and development of our of the Pishkah Corporation. If you need to find something, Gabriel will do the research for it. So Gabriel wanted an iPod, but we prayed, see, because I'm teaching Gabriel that he needs to learn that God gives him good things. I don't want him to have faith in me, but I want to be able to, as a parent, to provide good things, but I want him to know that God is behind that. So we prayed. I can't believe that you asked God for an iPod. Doesn't God want you to enjoy life? Amen. God doesn't mind you having an iPod. He doesn't mind you having a computer. He doesn't mind you having nice things. You look at Solomon. He used silver as wallpaper. There was so much silver in Solomon's day that he put it on the wall as wallpaper. Solomon built a $70 billion temple. Don't tell me that God's not into good things. Our God is good. So we prayed. Gabriel found this iPod on Craigslist. $40. So we went, we had to go to Harrisburg into a park that I would not want to visit again. And we picked up the iPod. Now, the iPod was locked. But Gabriel has an uncle right in Ephrata that can unlock these things. So he unlocked it. Guess what? Gabriel got blessed. An iPod normally sells for $200. But Gabriel got it for $40. Why? Because we prayed. Because we have a good God. And God is concerned about your life. He wants you to have a good life. He wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to have an abundant life. Look at verse 31. Notice, prayer has to be a matter of priority. There's something that you need to seek first before anything else. And he tells us here, rather seek the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. And these things shall be added to you. Say, added to me. How are they gonna, how did he say these things are gonna be added to you? What's gonna happen when you seek the kingdom? According to the other verse we read, what's gonna happen when you seek the kingdom? You're gonna find the kingdom. Who's the main part of the kingdom? The first four letters of the kingdom. The king. When you're seeking the king, you're seeking his kingdom, and when you're seeking him first, he's going to make sure that everything in life is going to be added to you. Added to you is receiving. Look at verse 32. This verse 32 makes me excited. Fear not. Listen, you can't be afraid and pray. What do I mean? You can't let fear keep you from praying. Sometimes fear will try to isolate you. It'll try to make the thing look so big that you won't want to take any action against it. But notice he said, fear not, little flock. For what? It is your Father's what? Good pleasure to what? To give you what? God wants to give you the kingdom. What's his kingdom made of? Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So anything that makes you right with God, anything that brings peace, and anything that brings joy, you can have in the kingdom. But when you seek the kingdom, you got to seek first the kingdom. And when that priority is in line, then you're ready to receive from God. Amen? I've got so much to say. You know, Daniel was, he was working for Nebuchadnezzar. He was considered a wise man, not a wise guy, but a wise man. And the king had this dream, and he wanted the wise men to interpret it, but he didn't want to tell them the dream. And no one could come up with a solution, so he was going to have all the wise men killed. What did Daniel do? He prayed for what? For the interpretation. Did you realize that when your job is in jeopardy, you can pray and have God move on your job to change things? Is God concerned about you having a good job? Does he want you to have a good job in a good atmosphere? And don't complain about your atmosphere, but what? Pray to God. Daniel prayed to God for the, and God what? God gave him the interpretation. Why? Because Daniel prayed. None of the other wise men knew how to talk to God except for Daniel and his three friends. And they got together, they had a prayer meeting, and God gave Daniel the interpretation. And before his job would have been, he would have been dead. If he hadn't prayed to ask God for the interpretation, he would have been dead. But his prayer saved him and every other wise man's life. You want to change your workplace? Pray. Daniel did. Solomon prayed. God said, can you imagine? Whatever you ask Solomon, I'll give you. Now, that was when he made a big offering to God, 1,000 bulls. And God said, whatever you ask Solomon, I'll give to you. Whoo! What did he ask for? Why? He was a king. He didn't know how to rule people. He didn't know how to be a leader, but he asked God. Because is there anything that God doesn't know? He's all-knowing, right? So when you need an answer, God's got all the answers to everything. There's not a problem that can stump God. But those answers are held up to only people who pray. When you pray, because of your relationship with God, God will give you answers. He'll show you things that you don't know. You pray to God and whoa, I didn't know that, God. That's so awesome. Solomon prayed for wisdom. God gave him wisdom, didn't he? What else did God give him? Riches and honor. He didn't ask for riches and honor. He asked for wisdom. Well, when you ask for wisdom, wisdom will give you riches and honor. God, you mean God will give you more than what you ask for? Absolutely. That's the kind of God who he is. He's El Shaddai. What does that mean? More than enough, all sufficient, almighty. Solomon asked for wisdom, but he got wisdom and riches and honor. See, when God because God loves you, he'll give you more than what you ask. He'll do more for you than what you think. He's able to do exceeding above, abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Think about that. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's what he wants to do for you. Go to Psalm 37. My goodness, I got to get to the clincher. Psalm 37. Here are some keys to practice when you pray. Okay? Number one, don't fret. Doesn't it say fret not yourself? Don't fret. That goes right along with don't worry. Don't be concerned. Don't worry. Be happy. God is a good God. Don't worry. Be happy. Okay? Number three, verse three, trust and do good. When you pray, you got to trust. And you got to do good. You got to have a lifestyle that's good. Amen? These are things that will help you receive when you pray. Fret not, trust and do good. Verse 4, delight yourself in who? In the Lord. Man, you ought to be so in love with Jesus. Man, I'm in love with Jesus. I'm so in love with Jesus that I'm not ashamed to say it in front of people. I love you, Jesus. You got to delight yourself in the Lord. In other words, you got to take joy in what God delights in. You got to like what God likes. You got to hate what God hates. Amen? These things will help you receive in prayer. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You can't be impatient in prayer. You got to practice the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes you got to wait. Why? There are times when God wants to see your faith. The Syrophoenician woman. Jesus, come and heal my daughter. She's grievously vexed with the devil. What did he do? He didn't say a word. Then people told her to leave. Then he said, I'm sorry, but you're of the wrong race. Then he said, you're a dog. But what happened? She hung in there. Why? He wanted to see faith. You know, our tears don't impress God, but our faith does. Now, does that mean that God's not sensitive to our feelings? And no, God's very sensitive. But what pleases God? Our emotions? Without our emotions, can we please God? Without what? Faith. You got to come to God in faith. Okay? Verse 8. Cease from anger. You don't want to pray when you're angry. That's why he said, be quick to forgive. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If you're angry, be quick to repent and quick to forgive. Do you realize if you hold on to anger more than a day, it's going to multiply? So if you get angry at someone, be sure to ask for forgiveness or repent, whatever you need to do, before the sun goes down. Amen? Verse 26. Be generous. He's ever merciful and lends. And his seed is what? Blessed. Say, my seed is blessed. Do you realize that when you put an offering in the container, it's not in vain? Why? You're giving to God's work. Amen? So part of having effective prayer is being generous. Why? Because God's generous, isn't he? God's a giver. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. Do you realize that God invested in a bunch of sinners? You talk about taking a gamble. God took his best offering and invested it in the world. And what happened? Look at the results that that investment produced. You and I are a result of that investment. So guess what? God made a good investment. His seed changed things. Number 27, turn, verse 27, depart from evil and do good. Turn from evil. Verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way. Verse 40, take refuge in God. Amen? Okay. We're going to look at these quickly. Go to John 14, 13. John 14, 13. John 14, 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, what's going to happen? I will what? That the Father may be glorified. So in order to ask in his name, you're going to have to know something about his name, right? Notice, though, when you ask in Jesus' name, the Father's going to do it. When he says he's going to do it, that means you're going to receive. Okay? Go to John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall what? Ask what you will. And what's going to happen? But what do you got to do to have that privilege? You've got to abide in him, and his words have to abide in you. You have to meet the condition to get the privilege, right? But in every one of these cases, God is saying, I will do it. Go to John 16, verse 23. 16, 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will what? He will give it to you. Why? Because you're a receiver. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you what? Shall receive that what? God wants you happy. More than that, he wants you joyful. Amen? Prayer makes you, having answered prayer makes you joyful, doesn't it? When you get answers, you rejoice. When I know the answer on a test, I rejoice because that means I can pass the test. The Bible says when you ask for wisdom, let him what? James 1, when you lack wisdom, what should you do? Ask God, and how does God give you? Liberally, and he doesn't hold back. Say, my God is a liberal God, and he doesn't hold back things for me. Okay, all right. Due to time, we got to go to the clincher. Are you ready for the clincher? This is the climax of tonight. Amen. This is the sum total. This is the bomb. Go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And I want you to see verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. How many have desires? Okay. Then he says, after having a desire, what does he say to do? When you pray, right? Because if you want to get that desire met, you're going to have to pray. Because God responds to prayer. When you have a desire, when you pray, what do you need to do next? Believe what? In other words, when you pray, you have to believe you have it right now. But I don't see it. I don't feel it. You believe you receive. How many has ever received a bonus? How did you know you had a bonus? They told you, and what? It showed up on your desk or in your account, right? Now, when they said you're getting a bonus, and you knew that the company was able to provide that bonus, what did you do? You started making preparations for that bonus, didn't you? How many has ordered a pizza? Okay? All right, you call the pizza place. You say, I'd like, you talk to maybe a stranger. You talk to someone maybe you've never seen before, maybe you've never met before. I'd like to order a pizza. What do you want on it? I'd like some pepperoni. Okay? What do? You start setting the table before the pizza ever gets there. What did you do when you got off that? You believed you received a pizza. Now, that pizza wasn't there, but you started making preparations as if the pizza was there because you were expecting it to be there. Why? Because you talked to someone. You expected that, and if that pizza came in 35 minutes, what did you do? I'm getting a free pizza. If the pizza place says 30 minutes or less, how many are watching the clock before that pizza gets there? And if that pizza is 5 minutes late, you're saying, you're claiming what they already said that they would do. We put more faith in the pizza delivery than we do in God. Because when we pray, we don't believe we receive because we're waiting to see it and feel it before we have it. We think that if I can't put my hands on it or if I can't feel it, then I don't have it. But that's not how faith works. We walk by faith, not by what? Sight. So when you pray, you must believe you receive. When should you believe what you receive? When you pray. In other words, before you go to God, you ought to prepare your heart. Say, God is good. You go to His Word. You know that God is good, but you go to His Word. Why? His Word is His promises. He never lies. He always tells the truth. His Word created this world. So you have a desire. God, I need this to happen in my life. You go to His Word. You find out what He says about what you need to happen. And then you go to God. Believing, you receive. Father, I give you thanks and praise. You're awesome. You're good. Father, I need this. You're asking Him. But now, you believe that you receive. You go away from that prayer time knowing that it's yours already. And until you see it and until you feel it, what are you doing? Thank you, Lord, that you're a good God. I thank you, Lord, that I have what I asked for. I thank you, Lord, that when I ask, you give it to me so that my joy is full. It's so important. See, many people don't believe they receive. Believe you receive, and what? You shall have. The believing you receive comes before the having. And once you believe you receive, from that moment on, you're convinced that you've received what you've asked for. I don't care if it takes a month, I don't care if it takes years, but you believe you receive. When Abraham and Sarah, they wanted a baby. Because Sarah was barren. And in that culture and in that time, to be barren is like putting a mark on your body. You were scorned. You were criticized. You were looked down upon. You thought you were nothing. Abraham and Sarah wanted a baby. Then God came into their life. Abraham, I want you to go. Okay, I will make you a father of many nations. You'll make me a father of many nations. I'm sure that at some point, Abraham and Sarah prayed that they would be parents. But there came a point in time when Abraham believed he received, when his name was changed. He was struggling believing up to that point, right? God, what are you going to, what is it, Genesis 15? God, what are you going to give me seeing I go childless? At that point in his life, he was looking at the childlessness, right? But then God spoke to him. He looked at the stars and he got a new revelation. Wow, look at the stars, look at the sand. That's me. Every time Abraham went outside and saw the stars and every time he went to the beach and saw the sand, guess what? He thought of what God said. Abraham believed he received because he started calling himself, I'm Abraham. I'm Abraham. I'm Abraham. What happened? He got what he believed he received. If you believe you receive, you shall have. Jesus said that. The word believe is a present tense imperative. And I'm not an English major, so whatever that means. You know what it calls for? Persistent, continuing faith. It means to receive. It means you did receive. It means you keep on believing because God has already given. When? When you believed, you received when you prayed. That is the moment right there where you take possession of it in the Spirit. You may not be able to see it, you may not be able to feel it, but because God said it, you can take possession of it. Amen? Because you can't go to prayer. Listen, going to prayer without the Bible is like trying to shoot a gun without any bullets in it. It's like trying to drive a car without any gas in it. Then you've got to fuel up your tank before you go on the trip. If you don't go to God's word before you pray, then you're setting yourself up to fail in prayer. You've got to go to his word first. You can't just pray out of your emotion. You can't just pray out of your intellect. You've got to go and find out what God said about your situation. If you need provision, what did God say about provision? I'm Jehovah Jireh. You're what? You're provider. If you need healing, I'm the Lord. I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm your healer. If you need peace, I'm Jehovah Shalom. I'm the Prince of Peace. Told you this is going to be the clincher. You've got to believe. We've already seen how God said he will give to you when you ask. I don't have to convince you that God's a giver. I don't have to convince you that he'll give to you when you pray. What you do need to do is you need to believe you receive when you pray. So the moment you pray, you take possession of whatever you're asking God for. And from that moment, until it manifests, you're thanking God, you're praising him, you're giving him the glory, because as far as you're concerned, it's already yours. You have it now. You'll see it and feel it soon. Now, sometimes seeing it, feeling it comes pretty soon. But what if it doesn't come the next day? What tries to come in? The enemy tries to discourage you. Oh, that didn't work. You might as well just pray twinkle, twinkle, little star, because that prayer didn't work. Your God's not good. That's what the enemy will say. He's a liar. And see, if he can get you into discouragement, he'll get you out of faith. And if you get out of faith, you got to start the process all over again. You got to go back to the drawing board. You got to go back to the word. You got to go back to pray, and you got to believe you receive. Once you believe you receive, you don't stop believing. Once you believe you receive, that means that you are convinced it is yours. You are convinced it's going to happen. You are fully persuaded. That's what Abraham was. He said, I'm fully persuaded that God is able to do what he said. That's what it means to believe you receive, to be fully convinced, fully persuaded. That means no matter what the enemy throws at you, you're not going to trade your convincing in for anything. And you got to stick with it, because you got, from that point on, you got to walk by faith, not by sight. You can't go by how you feel. You can't go by the opinions of others. You can't go by your circumstances, because what if your circumstances change? Does that mean your faith changes? No, your faith is not in circumstances. Guess what? Circumstances change, but faith doesn't. That's the difference. When you say you believe you receive, you're saying that you have the certainty of the thing. Can you say amen? Amen. So listen, if you want to get answers to life's problems, you got to pray. And when you pray, you have to believe that it's yours right then and there, just like you did with the pizza. Just like when you called the repairman. Say, My refrigerator's not working. You call up the repairman. Maybe you know him, maybe you don't, but maybe it's just a company that you got your thing through. And you, what do? You make preparations for him to come. And when we pray to God, we don't make any preparations. If you need rain and you pray to God to rain, you better carry an umbrella. That's what I'm talking about. That's the power of your prayers. God has put power in your prayers. He has given you the ability to pray in His name. He has given you His authority to ask whatever you will. And notice, it shall be done. Period. So I believe tonight that we have some receivers here. I believe that we have some people that believe they receive. Amen? If you need God to do something in your life, if you need a physical thing in your life, if you need money, if you need a healing, if you need a relationship to work out, if you need change to occur, it all comes through prayer, because there's nothing God can't do. The first thing you need to do, find out what the Word says about your thing. Find out what God says about healing. Find out about what God says about money. Look, there were people in the Bible that had nothing that God gave them something. The woman who couldn't pay her debt, God multiplied her oil. And she was able to sell the oil, pay off her debt, and live off the rest. That's pretty awesome. Father, I ask the Holy Spirit to bring us into truth tonight about this. I felt like I needed to ask this question. Does anybody have any questions about believing you receive? Your questions won't make me nervous. I have an answer for every question, and it might even be, I don't know. Still an answer, right? Is there anybody that has a question regarding what I talked about tonight? Because I want you to get this. God wants, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Just meditate on that for a minute. Your Father's so good that He wants you to have the kingdom. So does anybody have any questions about what we talked about tonight? Because I want you to understand. I can't answer your question if you don't ask it. There's no such thing as a dumb question. Well, your discussion is like this. God, you said in your word that you would do this. You know, you're just simply telling God what He told you. Yeah, you believe you receive. You believe you have it right then when you pray. Because remember, we read 1 John 5. It says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, then we have whatsoever we ask for. And I encourage you, you know, we're recording all this. It's a series called Teach Us to Pray. If there's any that you missed, I would encourage you to listen to them. You know, because we got the power to transform our community right at our fingertips. Good question, though. Thanks for asking. Does that answer your question? Okay, excellent. Awesome. Well, let's stand up. Amen. And let's just praise God for the good things that He has done and is doing and will do. Why? Because our God is a good God. You know, there's a few things in the Bible that I really am passionate about, prayer is one, the Holy Spirit is another, and inheritance is, of course, at the top of the list. But these are three. These are a couple areas that I'm really, you know, God taught me a long time ago that when I prayed according to His Word, I'll always have an answer. So if you've heard me pray at any point in time, you'll know that I pray scriptures. And when someone needs prayer, it's amazing. The Holy Spirit will bring a scripture to my mind to pray over that situation. And I'll always pray the Word. You can't go wrong praying the Word. Amen? So let's have a praise party. Let's give God praise for who He is and what He's done. Amen? He's done good things. God, You're so good and gracious. We praise You, Father, for working in our life, teaching us to pray. Chapter 11, we're going to read verses 24 and 25. Hallelujah. So glad to have Josiah here. He was not feeling well earlier, but he is now, so praise God. And verses 24 and 25. There is that scatters and yet increases. Isn't it interesting how one can scatter and yet increase? There is that withholds more than is meet or more than is justly due, but it tends to poverty. You know, in God's kingdom, the way to increase is to give. The way to decrease is to hold on. And then he says in verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Now that's a good kind of fat. That means anointed. Amen. That means full, rich. And he that waters shall be watered also himself. So here at Victory Christian Fellowship, we don't have a thing that we pass, but we have a container in the back. And you can place all your tithes and offerings in there. And we appreciate your giving. Amen. God has given so much to us. And we just give as God has enabled you. So as God has enabled you and as you feel led, you can give into that. And God will increase that. Amen. Well, we've been having prayer school, haven't we? And we've been talking about a series called Teach Us to Pray. And we've been learning how to connect with God. We've been learning how to know the Lord's will in prayer. We've learned how to conform to the image of Christ in prayer. And tonight we're going to learn how to find answers to life's problems. Anybody interested in finding answers? Amen? Well, prayer is how you receive answers. If you want answers to life's problems, what do you need to do? You need to pray. What is prayer? Can anybody pray? Prayer is really talking to God. Amen? It's how you commune with God. You know, I have a telephone here in my pocket. And this phone, you know what it has on it? Maybe someone who's in electronics can tell me what's necessary for this phone to work. It has something that starts with an R. Right? A receiver. Say, I'm just like a phone. I'm a receiver. Amen. If you don't have a receiver, you can't get the message, can you? So how many receivers we got in here tonight? Hallelujah. You're about to receive something good. And I want to say just a few general things of prayer, then we're going to get into the lesson tonight. You ready? Prayer, you know, it is communication with God. And God is personal. Aren't you glad that God is personal? He knows how to deal with every one of us. He knows how to talk to you. He knows how to get your attention. Some, it requires more than others. Amen? You know, there are things that, hey, listen, if God's got to send you an angel to get His message, then what He's about to tell you is about to shake your world. All right? God doesn't normally speak through angels, but He does when necessary, when He was about to tell something that's going to make your mind go, huh? You know? And so if an angel appears to you, God's about to ask you to do something pretty awesome. Okay? And, you know, prayer cannot be replaced by good works. There comes a point in time when we need to set aside some good works and we need to pray. Amen? There are times in our life when more prayer is required than at other times. You should pray every day, but then there are times when you need to pray through. What does that mean? It means you pray until you have a breakthrough. You know? And the Bible says a lot of things about prayer. And here's effective prayer. Everybody say effective prayer. It must be a scripturally informed response. God has given you the best prayer tool ever. All right? Actually, he's given you two. You know what the other tool is? The what? The Holy Spirit. The Word and the Spirit work together. Okay? And they are the most effective tools that we have to talk with God. So it's a scripturally informed response of people who are saved by grace to the living God who can hear and answer on the basis of Christ's payment. Can you say amen? That was from Nelson's Dictionary. It was just so good, I just wanted to share it with you. All right, now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to James chapter 4. We're going to get into how we can have answers. You know what? I'm concerned about answers. I don't want to just pray for the sake of praying, but I want my prayers to be effective. I want my prayers to show me what to do when I don't know what to do. I want God's presence to come into the place where I'm praying. Amen? You know, I can remember there were times when I was living in Illinois, and there was a group of us, you know, we were young, single people, and we would just get together, you know, and there were times when we would get together and we would pray for an hour. You know, it would be about seven or eight of us. And I guarantee you, God would start to move. We'd be in a circle and we'd be praying, calling on God. All of a sudden, a person would get hit. Then it's like a circuit. Then the next person. Then the next person. And then by the end of the time, we'd all be laughing in the Holy Ghost. You know, God's power would just come in. And, you know, God loves prayer. And in James 4, he says this. Verse 1, from where come wars and fightings among you? Come they not here, even as of your lust that war in your members? You lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because why? You know, people spend too much time fighting and less time praying. Amen? Listen, there are things that we have to fight, but we have to fight the good fight of faith. What's a good fight? That's one that you win, right? Say, I'm a winner. Okay? Notice, they're desiring, they're killing, but they don't have because they're not asking. You ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your pleasures or your lusts. In other words, when you pray based solely on your own desires, your own experience, your own expertise, and you don't go to God, your prayers are going to be amiss. You're going to miss the mark. Why? And he goes on to say, you know, this is pretty tough language. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Wow, that's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. What's a friend of the world? That means someone who wants to live their life according to the world's standards. Amen? Guess what? We're not of this world. Amen? You didn't know that you're aliens? But you have a green card. Well, it's not a green card. It's actually a name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus has authorized you here for a divine purpose. Okay? You know, some people ask with wrong motives. They just want to consume it on themselves. They haven't gone to the Word to see what God says. And they're just praying. And then when it doesn't happen, they get offended at God. They say, God, how come you didn't answer me? And God said, well, how come you didn't go to my Word? Amen. Then he goes on to say, verse 5, do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit that dwells in us, lusts to envy? But he gives more grace, wherefore he says, God resists the proud. You know, if you're praying with a proud attitude, God's not going to even listen to you. Why? Because God resists the proud. What's a proud person? They think that they're always right. They don't need help from anyone else. They can do it all on their own. Say, I'm not proud.